Our government right now meets us. We speak perhaps right even now at this moment. They've blown church off, every single senator. How many senators said, I'm not going, I got to go to church? Well, it's a health care vote. You guys are our leaders and you're telling the world they have no, the whole nation, they have no need for God on such a critical life-changing decision. It's in a hurry. Do you know anytime you make a decision in a hurry, don't you find most of the time it comes out bad? Let's hurry up. Make the decision quick. We don't have any time to think about it or read it. That's the world we live in, folks. Because they're trying to commandeer everything down there. But the fact I'm trying to get at is, he says, I'm going to let them have 1,000 fools to say all the wrong things. They'll darken their mind. He says they'll become fools. And the Bible says, not only do they suppress the truth, but look in verse 23, it says, they change the glory. God is awesome. He hung the world on nothing. He keeps the stars and everything in their circuits. Everything is absolutely pinpoint accuracy, you know. When I come to my Bible, yeah, I come with preconceived ideas. The number one preconceived idea I come with is God is smarter than me. And God is the one to believe. Let God be true and every man a liar. I go to this book with my eyes saying this. And you know what scientists do? They go to science the same way. They assume that the bloodstream is going to go a certain direction. They assume that certain molecules are going to react in a certain way. And they begin to count on it. It's called laws. They believe in laws. But when it comes to God, they throw all of that out the window and say, no, can't be. We had to have some kind of big bang and create the world. All I'm saying is the foolishness of man is on purpose. And God says, if you want it, I'll give it to you. You want foolishness? I'll make you morons. I'll make you stupid. I'll make you sluggish. And I'll give you 50 people that you can quote that will agree with you. But when you stand before me at the bar of judgment, you will have nobody standing by you. It'll be you and you alone. You made your choice and you chose not to believe me and you chose to believe them. And the Bible says he darkens their hearts when they do that. Verse 23 says they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image of made like unto corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You know, people worship today. Men, they do worship men. We talk about being a fan of some group. You know, we got American Idol or whatever. It's all about making an idol. And the idea is that we do worship people. We're followers of people. Like you got people who are into music world where they're punk and they're rappers and they dress a certain way and everybody starts dressing like them. Well, they're their leaders. And then there are people who talk about our president. They were talking about him as being a sort of a Messiah kind of people. Now, I'm not talking about people who are against him. I'm talking about people who are for him. Man, he's kind of like a man. He makes a chill run up my leg and people fainting in the crowd. He himself said in a video clip I actually have a copy of that, no, I, contrary to popular belief, I was not born in a manger. He said, but I am from Kryptonite. The planet Krypton, and I'm here to save the world. I'm telling you, folks, they go with it because our world wants somebody to worship. They'll worship people, and they'll turn around, and all throughout history, they've never found one unreached tribe, primitive tribe, that didn't have some kind of a god, whether a totem pole, or whether a bird, or a beast. We remember in the book of Exodus, when they came out of Egyptian bondage, there were 10 plagues, which answered to all 10 gods they had in Egypt. Whether it was frogs, can you imagine that? They worshiped frogs, they worshiped flies. They worship the River Nile. Everything got hit because God said, each one of your gods is going to be slapped. None of them are real. I am the true God. And he demonstrated that on the canvas of history and time. Here we stand today. Well, the Bible says that they not only suppress the truth, they resist the truth, they change the glory of God. It says in verse 23, and they make him like these beasts and so forth. And the Bible says, therefore, in verse 24, God gave them up. You might underline that word because the word keeps coming up. It literally means to give them over. God gives them over. You know, he didn't want to, and God never wants to. You look at the book of Genesis in the early part of the chapters where it talks about God looking at the earth and it being filled with evil and wickedness and sin. And the Bible says that he was grieved that he made man, but he found Noah. So we got a little reprieve, didn't we? One righteous man in the midst of that wicked, violent generation, and God wipes it all out. God says, because I see what's in man's heart, I will not always strive with man. He'll strive for a while, but he'll quit striving. There comes a point where God gives up. He darkens, and then he gives up, and he gives up, and he gives them over. He gives them over to what? Verse 24, their lusts. And the Bible says to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The next two verses are as graphic as you can possibly get in Scripture about Sodom and Gomorrah times. We are there today. Why? Because they suppress the truth. They don't want to hear it. Because they change the glory of God. And because they don't want any. And God says, I'm giving them up. Now gang, when God continues to give them up, we're getting in trouble. And God is giving America up. And the more you see this stuff happening around you, the more we need to remind ourselves that we are not safe down here. Our children are not safe down here. And that means we don't need to play the world's game by acting like the world in the sense that we dress like them, act like them, like their entertainment, like their stuff, but never, ever, ever, ever try to win anybody. If we really believe the earth was on fire under the feet of these people, we would try to reach them. We wouldn't withdraw from them. We heard a testimony this past week on the radio about a man who was a pastor who caught himself. He got caught on fire in his building. He's running down the steps and he's on fire. And as he comes down the steps, even on fire, this guy runs by in panic as well and he says, "Don't breathe." And the guy doesn't breathe. He's supposed to be in the hospital for 1 year of recuperation. He's out in 3 months. God just miraculously cared for this guy. Got him back to his church and got him back to his pulpit. In a fellowship, he sees the guy who said, "Don't breathe." He said, "Man, I just got to thank you." Broke down in tears. I don't know how to thank you enough. The guy looked at him and said, "I never said anything to you. I was running for my life. God said it through that guy's presence there. He made him hear the words, 'Do not breathe.'" And his testimony is before us today. And we see him on fire. Another guy, as he got out of that building on fire, somebody else pushed him down and ripped the clothing that was on fire off of his body, burning their own hands. What I'm saying is, you and I may need to be burning our hands. The Bible says, having fear, hating even the garments stained with sin in Jude, it says, but snatching some out of the fire. That's the world they're living in. They're in the fire now. And the Bible says in this passage that God gives them up to these wicked lusts. Verses 26 and 27, they not only changed the glory of God in verse 23, but they changed in verse 25, they changed the truth of God into the lie. In verse 26, it says, therefore God gave them up to vile affections. In 26 and 27 is where he gets into the Sodom and Gomorrah thing. And then in verse 28 he says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. Same word, translated a little differently, but God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And this is critical mass. The wrath of God is seen when God actually gives people over to an absolute reprobate mind, where they cannot fathom God anymore. They think it's the most ridiculous thing. This guy out there, he's a late night talk political pundit. Guy, he did a show called Religious or something, I don't know, but he's always trashing Christians, thinks we're the stupidest. That man is reprobate. He really does believe he's right. He really does. And he's a moron. He's lost it. He's done. He's got nothing there to offer. He's as good as dead already. People who are in that realm of absolute untouchableness are reprobate. It's a Carterized conscience. They become dogs. Jesus said the dogs drag my soul into the dust in Psalm 21 in the prefigurement of the cross. He says the dogs are nipping at me. And God's Word says in the New Testament, beware of dogs. There are dogs out there. Pink Floyd Animals album sings a whole song about the dogs. They're the partiers who have crippled their consciences, and they're the guys who live as if there is nothing to pay for. Now the Bible says he gave them up. He gave them up to uncleanness and so forth. And I don't have it right before me, and I want to kind of keep moving forward. But the word uncleanness, if you go back and read this, when he gave them up to uncleanness, the word is catharsis with an A in front of it. But the idea of catharsis is the word of catheterization. What is the catheterization? They go in and they kind of go through that artery, right? And they clean it out. Or they do a catheter up through the artery. And if something's there and they can't go any farther, they'll clean it out. The word here for catharsis and no catharsis is the idea God gives them up to uncleanness. He gives them a blockage. Okay? And the blockage is, I've made a decision, I'm not going to believe, and God gives them up to that blockage. And then the blockage begins to get more and more and more and more on it, to the point where their hearts just go dead. They got nothing. The lights go out. You know, somebody says the lights are on, nobody's home. That's them. It's called being dead in trespasses and sins. Literally, we're familiar with the idea of being a zombie. The Bible says you were dead, but now you've been quickened. And the Bible says these people are completely and totally reprobate. They're not able to be put into circulation, is what the sense of the word is. And the Bible goes on to say, in verse 28, not liking to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. And then this list is huge. It says, for fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What's that doing in there? Without understanding. God says, these are the things, without natural affection, this is what they have. Doesn't that read like modern day news? Do you know what the word disobedient means? It doesn't mean they're not listening to you. It means they don't believe you. The world knows they don't believe you. Guys, we have to have a testimony that's believable. It's the word for faith with a little A negating it at the beginning. They have no faith in you. Our world tells the kids, go live like the devil and it'll be okay. Do you know who their priests are? They're the psychologists. They're the psychologists. If they tell them they're broken, they think they're broken forever. If they put them on all kinds of drugs, you know the number one thing that's prescribed in this country are antidepressants because everybody is being inoculated. Why? Because the priests of this world are those that are not honoring God but are honoring man's image that they've changed God into. You are a pile of cells and you are unable to go through life without any... You're able to go through life without any responsibility. It's not your fault. The Bible says they don't believe you. They don't believe their parents. He says they're implacable. That means they're unwilling to join anything. And notice that we're in this category. A lot of these things are us. I mean, in the church. We're a few steps behind the world, but we're there, aren't we? Honestly, aren't the kids in the church sometimes just as disobedient and unbelieving of their parents? Aren't the people of God many times the covetous ones too? Don't we get fall prey to that, wanting more and having more, having to have more, getting caught up in the greed? Do you know this whole new movement in our country over the past year has been a payoff? They're paying off. They're bribing us to let them do whatever they want, because if we say we want to change in the way they're behaving, we might lose some kind of a benefit that they're giving us. That's money that's being used to bribe us. To sit back and say nothing. What would you sell out for? He says in verse 32, who knowing, and underline that, you might underline this. He said they know it. They know the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death. He says, but they not only do it, but they rejoice in those that do the same. You see, they not only think it's funny that they're doing something evil, gross immorality, and you should read those verses. They're just not fit to read out in the greater congregation with children around us. You need to read those verses. God says this stuff's going on, and when it's going on, it's because God's giving them up. And it's going on across the board in America. We used to be a chaste country. We used to be a modest country. We used to be a righteous country. We used to be a country with integrity. And the world laughed at us and called us puritanical. But the reality is, we are no longer puritanical. We have laid down all confines and we have said we will not have God rule over us. We did not like retaining God in our knowledge because it convicted our hearts. And the Bible says God is willing for that. Fine. He says, I'll give you over to that lust. And that's why we have marches at Cedar Point on Father's Day. In our country, in our state, don't go. What I'm saying to you this morning is the revelation of God's righteousness is found in each one of you and in me. Every one of us who have a testimony for Jesus, we are a walking billboard for God. It's supposed to be. Among the nations. But the revelation of God's wrath is also out there, and we see it all around us when men are getting darker and darker and darker. The Bible says in Psalm 92, and I'll close with this, 92 verse 7, you might underline this verse, write it down to underline later. The Bible says, when the wicked spring is the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Psalm 92, 7. When they flourish as the grass, and when they spring as the grass, and when the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. It is the calm before the storm. Now I told you this passage is going to be all about condemnation. He's getting us lost so he can get us saved. So you hang with me, but understand this: the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If you are not saved yet, you need to be. You need to start taking God at His word, and you need to stop not giving Him glory. You need to stop not giving Him thanks. And you need to start recognizing that He's the one who holds the world on nothing, holds it fast, and you're going to answer to Him one day. If you don't, it could get darker and darker and darker. This is a biblical precept. Would you bow with me for a moment?